All right, I think we're gonna go ahead and get started. So first of all, thank you for coming to the session, Gain Visibility and Control with Office 365 Advanced Security Management. My name's AJ Smith. I'm a senior product marketing manager focused on advanced security management. With me is Yair Cohen. He's a senior program manager on advanced security management. And today we're gonna give you a pretty solid overview of what we call ASM for short. As you probably know Microsoft, we do lots of acronyms. So if you hear us say ASM, we mean advanced security management, so just it's a long name, so we just acronym it. But before we get into features and functionality and all that great stuff, I do want to do a little bit of level setting here. And when we talk to many organizations like yourself, obviously one of the things that we see is change is very constant across the industry. Over the past 5-7 years, we've seen a lot of things change, and really there's 3 core areas that really affect a lot of what we do from an office perspective and how we even think about advanced security management. One of those areas is people's work expectations. The days of people just being at their desk all day and not being mobile and just working 9 to 5 and just using one PC are completely dead. Like, almost every organization we talk to does not deal with that anymore. People want to work whenever, wherever they want, have access to the data, and will do anything they need to get it. And even that means violating your corporate policies to get access to data, right? They'll move it to wherever they want it to be, so they can actually get the job done. On top of that, we see the threat landscape evolving. The days of, hey, people doing in basements, you know, trying to hack into systems just for notoriety, they still happen, but it's pretty few and far between. Most of you are probably experiencing situations where that people that are trying to get into your organization are effectively doing it for profit or for ideological reasons, or nation states or something like that. And then last but not least is industry regulations and standards. These change all the time, and especially in, we see in many organizations who have been using on-prem, you know, products, you've got a really good handle on how to actually deal with the regulations and standards that you have to abide by in your industry. As you move to the cloud, one of the biggest questions we get is, wait, how do I meet those regulations and standards when I move to Office 365? How do I deal with that? How are you gonna make sure that I'm compliant? So how do we help you do that? So those are kind of the 3 big areas that we see, because effectively change is constant. It's the only constant that we see, is that everything's going to change on you at some point in time. Now, these trends that we're seeing really create a bunch of security challenges. And you've probably seen some of these stats in other sessions throughout the week so far, so I won't go into each one of them. But one of the things that I would say is that we see across many organizations is that security is a top challenge when it comes to SaaS adoption. 73% of enterprises indicate this, right? So having a conversation around security is one of the core things that we do from an office perspective to help people understand what we do in that space. We also see that 87% of senior managers admit to regularly uploading work files to a personal email or cloud account. This gets back to, I wanna be mobile, I wanna get my job done, and I don't care what the IT policy is, I'm gonna do what I need to do so I can get my job done. The problem is that these are your senior executives. They're trained to actually protect information. They know they should be doing this, but they're doing it because they need to be productive. We also, of course, see that users are using SaaS applications to make themselves more productive. And of course, many of them are not approved. So over 80% of employees admit to this. And you know that some of these apps are gonna be plugging into Office 365. And the last one I'll touch on is, of course, the network intrusions piece. Over 75% of network intrusions are due to compromised user credentials, right? So having strong passwords and everything else and being able to see anomalies that are going on inside your environment, well, that will help you kind of determine what's going on if this is a compromised account is becoming more and more important. So how does advanced security management play into all this? How does it help you? Well, advanced security management gives you enhanced visibility and control into Office 365. And it really focuses on 3 core areas. First is threat detection. We want to help you identify a high risk, abnormal usage, security incidents, and threats that are inside your tenant. So we do this through anomaly detection policies. So you basically, we can find what is abnormal in your tenant and surface that up through all the audit logs and everything else that you would actually get. We just make it a little bit easier for you to see, hey, this is abnormal for this user or for your tenant. And then you can make a decision on, is this really a problem, or is this just abnormal usage? We also focus on giving you enhanced control by helping you shape your Office 365 environment with granular security controls and policies. So we do this through two features, and we're going to talk about all this in much more detail today. The first one is activity policies. So this is where you get to control what activities you want to monitor and then take action upon, right? So if you want to say, I want to stop people from mass downloading information from my Office 365 tenant, we can help you set that up and then get an alert when that happens, or even suspend the user's account when that alert fires. And then we also have a feature that we call app permissions, which we've not yet released, but we'll talk about today, that gives you visibility into the apps that people are plugging into Office 365 and what permissions they have, so you can evaluate the level of risk that that app has inside your organization. And the last piece is discovery and insights. We want to help you get visibility and context into your Office 365 usage and shadow IT, all without using an agent. Because again, as we talked about earlier, we know that many of you have users that are, you know, using their own devices, they're being mobile. You can't put an agent on every single device. So we use advanced security management without an agent to give you that discovery functionality so that you can see your office usage, but also other productivity apps that are being used inside your organization. So you can make a decision on, hey, are these things the right IT-approved apps that we want used, or do I need to go educate my users a bit on some of the functionality or on some of the apps that they're using, and what's the approved one that they should be actually using going forward? All right, so instead of me just talking about this, I thought we'd do a short demo around the portal and the alert. So I'm gonna bring up Yair to kind of show you what that looks like really quickly. So, Yair?
Thanks, AJ. So we'll start with our first demo among three that we're gonna show you today. And the first demo will be about the alerts, which is the most powerful capability in advanced security management. So in this demo, we will focus about three scenarios. The first one will be to view an anomaly detection alert. In the second scenario, we will show you how you can create and configure an anomaly detection policy. And in the third scenario, we will show you how you can create an activity policy from a template. So this is what you guys see when you open the Advanced Security Management portal. You open it from the Security and Compliance Center in Office 365. And the first screen you get here is a list of the active policies that you have in your environment. So as you can see, the first policy here says general anomaly detection. And in the counter, we see that we have two open alerts. We also have the severity of the alerts that are coming from this policy and the category they belong to. So let's click on the two open alerts. And here are two alerts from this policy that are currently open. They have not been dismissed or resolved. So I'll click on the first one. And what we see here is one of our intelligent alerts, or the anomaly detection alerts. These alerts show you unusual user or admin behavior in your Office 365 environment. You can see that you have a risk score, in this case 86, which represents how risky or how suspicious this user behavior is. And in the description, you can see why the session was chosen to be so suspicious. So the first thing we see here is that the IP address that this user came from is an anonymous proxy. Also, this user is an administrator, which obviously makes the session more risky. The ISP, the internet service provider, was used for the first time among the organization and to perform an admin activity in general. And the admin activity performed a set mailbox to an external email address that is an activity that is very sensitive and was not performed from 82 days in this organization. In addition, the session or the user contains three failed logins. So absolutely you can look and see that this is a suspicious session that might be worth investigating a little bit more. One of the things we can do here, next to the resolution options, is go ahead and suspend the user or go to his account settings in AAD or in Office 365 and maybe reset his password or do something like that. But before we do that and take any action, let's go down, I'm scrolling down now, and look at the activity log. The activity log contains which activities belong to this session, or in other words, what did this user did to make, you know, this session suspicious. So what we see here is like three failed logins, and if I'll click on one of them, you will see that this IP address was tagged as an anonymous proxy, and above them I see all the actions, all the administrative actions that it took, such as setting this mailbox to forward his emails to another user. So this is absolutely interesting. I want to click on this suspicious, on this risky IP address, And I will now see all the activities from this IP address. And to my surprise, there are more users who use this IP address, and all of them show suspicious activities such as failed logins. I can now, for example, look at this failed login, and I'll click on the target object which contains the user who failed to log in here. And now I'll see this user activity, which also looks suspicious. So I'll go now back to this alert. And as you can see, I quickly found out something very suspicious that had happened in this environment. I can choose again to suspend this user. And after I'm doing that, I can choose to like resolve this alert and provide some feedback to my administrators on what happened here. So as you can see, we have here like some basic incident management capabilities that you can use to manage all the alerts that you have in your tenant or in your organization. So this was the anomaly detection. Now let's see how you can control and configure such policy in your tenant. So I'll go now to control menu and choose policies. Now I'll create on create policy. I'll click on create policy and choose anomaly detection policy. So let's start by choosing a name for this policy. I'll call it risky administrative activity. I can leave the description empty. And the default category for this policy is threat detection. Now, I have the option to select which activities this policy will apply to. So instead of choosing all monitored activity, in this case, I will filter the activities to apply to only administrative activities. So I'm adding this filter administrative activity equals to true. I can also add other filters such as, you know, for a certain location or IP address range, or like internal IPs, risky IPs, and there are like many other options that you can we can cover later. The next thing here is the risk factors. So the anomaly detection is a smart and intelligent engine that looks at all the user activities, and we'll talk about it soon, and finds suspicious behavior. So suspicious behavior can be defined by multiple risk factors that you can turn on and off. By default, they're all turn off. You can also choose if a specific risk factor will apply to certain activities as well. So as you can see, we have a few risk factors. Login failures, admin activity, inactive accounts, location, impossible travel, which is when a person performs any activity from two distant locations in a short time, the device and user agent that they're coming from, and the activity rate. For example, if a user starts to exfiltrate data and downloads a lot of documents or modifies document that he's usually not doing. So these were the risk factors. The next section is the alerts. By default, we have an alerting threshold for the anomaly detection, which is set to 65. I will now uncheck this checkbox to allow you to see how you can tweak this threshold. And the way it works is like when the suspicious session risk score exceeds or passes this minimum, an alert will be produced. So we can, like, for example, change it to the low to make more alerts show up, but with lower risk score, or make it very high that only like very suspicious sessions will be generate alerts. The next thing is the notifications. So when an alert happens, it automatically goes to the alerts page. But you can also get email or text message. Let's choose the box of send alert as email, and I can put here any email I want. I can also check the send alert as text message and put here a phone number. For example, here's a phone number, for example. I can also choose how many alerts will be produced from this policy. By default, it's 5, but I can also choose unlimited or a bigger number if I want to get all the alerts. And then I can create the policy, and I'm good to go. All right. And the last scenario in this demo will be to create an activity policy. So I'm back to my policies page. I'm clicking on create policy and choosing the activity policy. Activity policy is more simple policy that is supposed to trigger an alert when a set of activities happen that you can determine. So to make it easier, we have policy templates that represent the most common use cases that you might want to detect in your organization. So I'll choose now the mass download by a single user, which is a policy that has a repeated activity filter, which means that whenever the user performs a certain activity that is repeated for like 30 times in this example, within a time frame of 5 minutes, I will get an alert. The filter here is activity type, which selects all the different activities that belong to a user who downloads files or accesses files. And now in the alerts part, I can choose to receive a text message or an alert. And my government section here allows me to suspend the user immediately if that alert is generated. So I can check this checkbox. By that, the user who downloads a lot of documents simultaneously in a short time will be suspended automatically. So these were the three scenarios that we show, and we'll see more demos soon. So let's go back to the deck. So before you're getting started with advanced security management, there are a few things you might want to know. The first thing is that this service is based or is powered by Microsoft Cloud Ops Security product, which I'll mention more about later. And its license included in Office 365 E5 or as a separate standalone or an add-on license for a tenant. You can also get a 30 days trial and get started really quickly. This is an admin product, which means that the end users themselves cannot obviously control that. So by default, security administrators and global administrators have access to the UI that we just saw. We are also providing more support for more roles and more what we call RBAC, role-based access control, if you want to limit what the admins can do on this portal. That will come soon. And the last part is that the first time you're going to use this service, you have to consent to move your data from Office 365 to the Advanced Security Management or to the Cloud Ops Security Service, which is stored in a different data center. All right. When you get your tenant started, the first screen you'll see will be the policy screen. By default, we're creating an out-of-the-box policy, which is the general anomaly detection one, which will be applied to all the activities in your tenant. Just note that it will take 7 days for the engine to learn the baseline of each user activity and your organization behavior before you will start seeing alerts. So the anomaly and activity alerts are very powerful. Let's spend some time to understand how they work. So first, why do we actually need them? So we have so much data in our organization. Let me ask you a quick question. How many events do you think Office 365 is auditing for a large tenant every day? Any ideas? Billions. I thought you would start from a lower number. For a single tenant. That's very close. So we're talking about millions. In large enterprises, it can be like even tens of millions. Yeah. So it's absolutely a lot of data. And now the question is, when someone compromises your environment, whether it's an outside hacker or like, you know, Snowden attack from an internal employee, how can you find that suspicious activity in all of those audit events, in all of this data? So for that, we built the advanced alerting as part of the Office 365 environment. And the way it works is we have a service that is called Cloud Ops Security. And this service continuously pulling all the audited events from Office 365 through APIs. We have the management activity APIs. We have other APIs that provide us the users and the group for Azure AD. After we're getting those events, we are enriching them. We have the Microsoft Security Graph and the intelligence feeds that allow us to know from our intelligent cloud which IP addresses are risky, which URLs are malicious, which locations are maybe suspicious as well. So we're enriching this data with that. And you guys also have the ability to customize this data. For example, you can classify IP address subnets as internal, as risky. You can give them tags like this department, maybe that's the marketing guy, so I can like filter on their activity later on and so on. We're taking all these enriched events and throwing that into our alerts engine. We have the activity alerts that we showed, and we have the anomaly detection we showed. The anomaly detection is using big data and machine learning and a lot of heuristics to learn the, you know, what is suspicious and what is not, and we'll talk about it in the next slide. When an alert happens, we're sending these alerts into like your UI that we showed before, which allows you to perform basic incident management, such as like resolving, dismissing an alert, taking some actions, such as like suspending the users, and we're going to add more and more capabilities, such as like assigning incidents to someone from IT or from the security team, such as performing more governance actions, such as resetting the user password or triggering MFA on his next activity and so forth. Also, you will have the ability soon to send those alerts to your SIM, whether it's ArcSight or Splunk, wherever you manage your security alerts, you will be able to pull them automatically into that system as well. So let's talk a little bit more about the anomaly detection, because it's a very complex tool and also very powerful. So what makes it more so powerful? So the first thing that happens automatically when you enable advanced security management is that our system creates a baseline for each user and for your organization. A baseline is basically an interpretation of what is normal for each user activity. Now, this baseline consists of different like vectors. One of them, for example, is the locations the user is coming from. Another one is the user agent, which includes the operation system, the application that is using, maybe is using Chrome usually, maybe he's using IE, which is way better. We have other factors like, is it an admin or not? Is he coming from an anonymous proxy? Which internet service providers is coming from? And so forth. The times of his activities. So we're creating a baseline for each user. And after that, we're monitoring each of the user sessions. So for each session, we're keeping a live score that represents how suspicious it is. When this live score exceeds the threshold that you define when you create this policy, we generate an alert. Then the alert is triggered, and we're also using your feedback when you dismiss or resolve or take actions on this alert to feedback our system again and make it smarter. It's important to remember that it takes time to the engine to learn what is suspicious and what is not, especially when you start a new trend. So we talked about the fact you have 7 days where you will not get alerts while the system is learning and creating the baseline. And then it will become even more and more intelligent as time goes on. Yeah, we'll take one quick question, but we'll leave some time at the end.
So how does the engine behave when it's still learning, but perhaps you've already been compromised? Are there built-in security measures to recognize?
Great question. So what happens if your organization was compromised during those 7 days? So the question was, what happens if your organization was compromised during those 7 learning days? So, or before. Well, that's definitely unfortunate. That's the short answer. But you know, there are some alerts, and I don't want to like, I mean, maybe we can show that later. There are some alerts that will be triggered even during those 7 days. But in general, if we don't know what is suspicious, it will be able to detect such, it will be hard to detect such threats. Good point.
The activity policies will pick up stuff. So if you create an activity policy that says, I'm looking for X, you'll still get that within the first 7 days. This is the anomaly piece. We got to get that baseline for the first 7 days.
Right. For example, you can see, and I forgot to show it in the demo, how activity alert looks like. But you can easily define policy that is deterministic, which is an activity alert, which says, for example, alert me when a mailbox is forwarded to an external email address. All right. So back to the anomaly detection policies. We saw that in the demo. You can, just to recap, you can tune the risk factors that contribute to the session risk score. You can also turn on and off those risk factors. And you can define filters to choose which activities will be monitored in this anomaly detection policy. When you create activity policies, we made it easier to get some ideas on the most common use cases by allowing you to choose a template and easily create a policy out of it. We have a lot of rich activity filters. For example, you can create an alert when an impersonated activity happens, or when an activity from a risky IP happens, or from a certain user group, or there are like many, many, many options that we won't have time to cover, but you can very easily set up in your own tenant and try it out. The repeated activity allows you to get an alert not when just like a single activity happens, but when a user repeats an activity. Repeated activity can sometimes represents an attack, such as like when a user downloads a lot of documents and trying to exfiltrate it. And then you can take automatic governance actions or manual governance actions, such as the suspend user, and we will add more. And now the last part of the alerts were the notification. The notification allows you to get emails or text messages when an alert happens, as well as to configure your settings among your organization, so any alert will behave kind of the same way. The alert limits allow you to say, maybe something is noisy and it happens a lot of time and I will want to like go back and like tweak and configure the policy so it will make more sense. So that's why we created the alert limits, so it will not create too much noise. Then the last part was, the last part is the alert management, or in other words, the basic incident management capabilities that we allow you to do. So some of you, especially larger enterprises, will use your SIEM to manage those security alerts that you have from also other security products. But as part of advanced security management, we are providing basic incident management, which is something that was somewhat missing in Office 365 until today. And we are also onboarding other alerts that we haven't shown you because they're already existing in Office 365 as part of the incident management or the alerts page that you get here. For example, we will show you soon the DLP violations or the DLP alerts that you have in your Office 365 environment, or malware detections that were found in Exchange Advanced Threat Protection. So it's a very basic but powerful tool to manage those incidents in an environment that is familiar to you already. All right, so that was about the first big feature, which is the alerts. The next feature is productivity app discovery, which we are very excited to show you today, and it also becomes available to everybody this week. So what is the productivity app discovery? Many of you know what is Shadow IT. Shadow IT refers to applications usage by your employees that are not authorized by your administrator. So, any of us can come and sign up with our organization email to any service that, supports single sign-on auth and starts using this application with our identity. And many times our IT doesn't know about it. Also, our Office 365 admins many times don't have a way to visualize the usage of Office 365 among other cloud services. So that's why we created Productivity App Discovery that visualizes the usage of your Office 365 environment comparing to other cloud services. And we made it very simple so you have nothing to install. It doesn't require any agents. So as always, we'll start with a demo. So this is how the Advanced Security Management Portal looked until today. And now, within the Security and Compliance Center, where you can access this UI, you have a new option under Search and Investigation, which is called Productivity App Discovery. This option will take you, once you click on this button, to the UI that we saw before. But just this time, you will have the Discovery menu on top. So if I go to Discovery Dashboard, you will get the screen that you're now looking at. This shows you how many apps we have discovered in your organization, how many users, how many different IP addresses, and how much traffic we saw that goes up or down to these users. We also show you a comparison for each of the Office 365 categories, including collaboration and webmail, online meetings and social network. And as you can see, you can measure how much goes to Office 365 comparing to how much goes to other services. For example, cloud storage is very interesting. I see that there are like 820 megabytes that go to Office 365, but there's way more that goes to other apps. So I can easily see that my organization is not using Office 365 very much for storing files in the cloud. And then the discovered apps show me these apps. So for example, I want to take a look on the cloud storage. So I'll change the all categories to cloud storage, and I will see all the discovered apps in this category. So as you can see, OneDrive is definitely the most used, but there are a lot of other apps that are used, and together they accumulated more content than goes to OneDrive. So I can easily take a look on these apps by scrolling between all the different 50 apps that we discovered. I can also change this visualization to show me these graphs by, for example, users instead of traffic. So if I click on users, I'll see, for example, that 620 users used OneDrive, but 393 users used Box. The next part is the risk levels. So productivity app discovery is not only giving you visibility into these apps, but they also perform automatic risk assessment that is based on a score that I'll talk about later. So here you can see the traffic that goes to these apps by risk level. So this situation is pretty good. Most of the traffic is not in high-risk applications. There is 1.5 gigabytes that goes to medium-risk apps. And I can also change this to show the visualization by users, for example. So here I have 86 users who are using high-risk applications. And then the last part on the down right, on the right bottom, I can see the app's headquarters location. So as you can see, it's a very powerful technology to get a very quick look at your utilization of your Office 365 environment. Now, how do you produce this dashboard? And as I mentioned, you don't need to install anything. So if you go to Discover and Manage Report, you will see all the different reports that are available to you. If you want to create a new one, or if you don't have any, you can create a new report. By the end of, after you create a report, you'll get the same dashboard that you just saw. So what do you need to do to create a new report? It's very easy. You start by giving the report a name. After that, you give the description. And then you need to choose your data source. So the dashboard that you saw is reproduced by taking network traffic logs from your firewalls or proxies and analyzing them, and I will elaborate it later on in the slides. And after that, you get the report. So you can choose, for example, your appliance, in this case, a checkpoint firewall. We'll give you some guidance on how those logs should look like, very simple usually. So you can verify that the format is correct before you upload that. And the last part will be just to choose the log file and click on create. Now this process might take some time, usually maybe a few minutes, but if this is a huge file, or maybe you're uploading 10 files of 1 gigabyte each, it might take some time. So you will get an email notification once the report is ready, or if it failed. And then you just click on create. It's very simple and powerful. So as we mentioned before, the idea here is to give you a very quick look and to visualize to you the usage of your Office 365 environment. So we chose a few app categories that we thought that fit best Office 365, which are collaborations, cloud storage, webmail, social network, and online meetings. And we associated each of these Office 365 apps to these categories. And then we can show you how much data goes to your environment in each of these categories comparing to other cloud services. We allow you to upload up to 20 different files of log traffic, of network traffic, in a single report. And we'll give you mail notifications once these reports are ready. At the end, the dashboard you can export it into CSV or Excel format so you can perform further investigation on these users or alerts. Yeah. Sorry?
Is there a size limit on these?
Yes, there is. So the size limit is 1 gigabyte for a log file. But you can upload up to 20. So just to talk very quickly on how this works, what is the architecture behind this feature? So first of all, we rely on network traffic logs from your on-premise network. So whether it's coming from your firewalls or routers or web proxies, The admin will come and upload those logs through this console that we looked at manually. Once the logs are uploaded to Cloud App Security Service, which is what we saw that powers this Advanced Security Management portal, we are parsing these logs and we'll let you know if there was anything incorrect in the format. If the parsing was successful, the next thing is that we're taking those logs and by using our Cloud Applications DB, or our SAS DB as we call it, to associate a risk score and other information with each one of these transactions, of these network transactions. And then we perform an aggregation to create this dashboard that you looked before. After that, you have the dashboard ready for you. We talked a little bit about the log formats that are coming from the firewalls, but here I just want to give you a quick look at the full list of the appliances that we support. And when you choose the data source in your portal, you might sometimes not find the data source that you want. But don't worry about that, because you have the option to select other, which still allows you to upload the log. And we promise you that we'll add a support within a week or two. Yeah, I'll take just one quick question.
Is it possible to automate the upload of log files?
So the question was if it's possible to automate the upload of the log files. The answer is no, but we will talk later on about the discovery or the cloud discovery capabilities of another product, which is called Cloud App Security that I mentioned, that does allow you to do that. All right, so these were the two first features, and now I want to call AJ again to give you a sneak peek to our next one.
Yes, so thanks, Ayer. So the third and last feature we're going to talk about today is what we call app permissions. This is not yet released, so we're going to give you a sneak peek into what it looks like as of right now. So it may look a little different when it ships, but we just definitely want to give you just a little bit of insight into where our head is at around this feature. So what is app permissions? Really what it's focused on is really trying to get you visibility into what the users are plugging into Office 365 and have access to that data. So when we think about our end users, they just want to be productive, right? They're going to go use whatever tools they can to be productive. So what they do is they go download an application, and some of those apps are going to plug into Office 365. So what they do, they download that app, they install it, and then they're going to get a box similar to what you see on the screen, which basically says, hey, this application needs permissions to do things like read your mail, read and write your contacts, send mail as you, sign in and read your profile. You okay with this? And what do the users do? First of all, they don't even read it. They just go accept, right? So they don't care about the app. They just want to be productive. That's all they want. You, on the other hand, want to know what they've done. And you've got pretty limited visibility into this. So we built this feature to give you that visibility so that you can see all those apps that they've said, I accept, and see what those permissions are. Now, we also give you the ability to review these applications and see the permissions and, you know, see additional information. But we also give you the ability to revoke the permissions across the entire organization, so across the entire Office 365 tenant. So if you decide that this application, after you've done your investigation, it has all these permissions, and you go, no, way too risky. Like, this has got access to way too much information, I'm shutting it down. Basically, you can revoke that app across the entire organization, send a note to the users and say, hey, I'm disabling this thing. You can't use this thing anymore. We're revoking the permissions. And here's a quick note of what you should do. Like, don't use this thing, don't call the help desk, because we're not gonna solve your problem. You should go use an approved solution that we have. So, instead of talking about this a bit more, let me show you what it looks like as of now. All right, so this is what the app permissions feature looks like today. So you'll notice at a very high level, we've got the app itself, so what are the list of applications? It was added by how many users, the permission level, the last added date, and then the ability to approve or ban the actual application. So I'm going to go down to this application called Do. If I click on it, it expands out and it tells me some additional information. It gives me a description, tells me what the app website is. It shows me the permissions itself that it actually has. So if I click on this, it gives me the list of, well, this application can do these four things inside of your Office 365 tenant. It has access to this information. So I can read on this and go, okay, is this the right? Is this okay for my organization? Also, we give you a little bit of information around community use. So we also look at other Office 365 tenants and see, is this commonly used across other tenants? If it is, great, maybe it's less risky because other people are doing it. It's your call to make. And then, of course, you can view related activity in the governance log. Of course, you can also see the additional users, so which users are actually using this. So in this case here, I've got Dana and Michelle who are using the actual application. So I know, all right, who are the people? Because maybe if it's your CFO, your C-level executive, you may treat this a little differently than if it was somebody in the sales department or someone in accounting. So we're giving you that visibility into who's actually using those applications. And then, of course, the permission levels, we do give you a summary of a high, but we obviously give you the details down here. And then at this point, I can make a call and say, you know what, I'm gonna ban this application. So if I click ban, I get this little dialog box that says, all right, we're gonna ban the app. Do you wanna notify users who've granted access to this thing? I'd highly recommend that you actually notify these users. Because if you have an app with a ton of permissions, you take them away, the app will probably start spitting out errors. So unless you want a bunch of help desk phone calls, you probably wanna notify them that this has happened. So you, of course, give them a notification email to reply to. Obviously, you may not want to give them yours. You may want to give them like a generic help desk email address or some other group, unless you want to funnel a bunch of email messages, especially if it's like, hey, there's 300 users using this thing. So pick the right alias that you want to use, and then you can enter a custom notification. So you can write your own message, tailor it as you think it's appropriate, and then send that off to the end users. And then at that point, what happens is that the application's permission is revoked at the API level. So effectively, what happens is that if they say, hey, I try to install the app again, it's not gonna work. The permissions can't be granted, so the application just won't function as it's intended to function. So again, this gives you that visibility and the control over what applications that people are plugging into Office 365, and of course the ability to say, yes, I don't want this one allowed, and then, or I can approve them. And approving is just effectively just marking that checkbox that you see on the screen so that it's a visual aid for other administrators to say, yes, okay, we've already reviewed this one, and we're happy with how this one works out. All right. So that was a very high-level view of advanced security management. We've shown you a couple things today, shown you the three core features of the product. In particular, obviously, we wanted to make sure that you understood that this thing gives you enhanced visibility control over Office 365 through, again, those three core areas. Threat detection, which helps you identify high-risk, abnormal usage, and security incidents and threats. Those anomaly detection policies that you see Yair create. And then, of course, seeing those alerts and understanding what's really an anomaly and understanding, is this really a threat or not? Because you can get anomalies that aren't gonna be threats, right? I could just be, hey, I don't really travel outside of the US very much, but all of a sudden, if I go on vacation in Brazil and check my mail, well, is that a threat? No, I just wanna check my mail. But do you wanna be alerted to that to make sure that's not an issue? Sure. So that's also why you don't see in the anomaly detection policy creation, there's no way to automatically say, hey, suspend the account. You want to be able to see those anomalies and make sure that they are the things that you care about. On the enhanced control side, of course, we've shown you the activity policies so that you can set those policies for the activities that you want to monitor, that you control. So the mass downloads, certain administrator activities, things like that. So you can say, if I see these things, give me an alert and suspend the user account if it's that egregious. If you build something so bad that if you see it and you say, shut them down immediately, we can do the suspend action automatically for you. And then, of course, giving you that enhanced control through the app permissions piece so that you see what applications are being plugged into Office 365, and then, of course, giving you the ability to approve and ban those things. And the last but not least, of course, is that discovery and insights that we showed you through the productivity app discovery, right? So uploading your firewall, your web proxy logs, and showing you, here's all the applications that we see being used inside the organization from a cloud services perspective, and then giving you the ability to say, look, all right, people are using Box or Dropbox or other solutions that maybe aren't IT approved, and I want to go educate those users on the things that they should be using so that, again, you get better control over what's going on inside of your Office 365 tenant and with the data that's going on in there. And again, all this is done without actually having any agents. We're just leveraging those logs themselves. So what I want to do real quickly is I want to bring Yair back up to talk a little bit about cloud app security. Now, you heard about this, talk about this a little bit. It's the thing that powers advanced security management. So I just want to make sure you've got a decent understanding of that really quickly. So we're going to spend just a few minutes on that, and then we'll jump into questions. So, Yair?
Thank you. So the previous UI that we looked before allows us to do a lot. We can discover shadow IT and find out or visualize Office 365 utilization in our organization. We can detect threats among the enormous data that we have in your Office 365 environment. And we can also get very cool incident or alert management tools to mitigate and control what's going on in our environment. Now, some of you may also care about protecting other cloud applications. That's why we are also introducing Microsoft Cloud App Security. Microsoft Cloud App Security provides enterprise-grade security to many more cloud applications. So the same threat detection capabilities or those intelligent alerts that you saw, the same alerts and very much, you know, similar to the UI that you saw, you can get and apply to more cloud applications and provide your IT a single pane of glass to like visualize what's going on in your cloud environment. So the same visibility and controls, very much you know, like you're familiar with ASM, will be available to you, to other cloud applications. This product, Cloud App Security, is based on an acquisition that Microsoft did last year on a company, an Israeli company called Adalom. And it's also available as a standalone or as part of the new Enterprise Mobility Plus Security E5 SKU that is available for next week. So what is Cloud App Security? We talked about cloud discovery for a little bit in the terms of productivity app discovery in ASM. And one of you asked if I can upload the logs automatically. So the answer is that with Cloud App Security, you can. You can also get more visibility, such as like the exact risk score assessment for each application. You can also see other cloud category, like cloud app categories that do not associate themselves with Office 365. So you can basically get better visibility into your shadow IT environment. Office 365 has a great data loss prevention capabilities, right? But how do you protect your other cloud applications? So another thing that is provided in Cloud App Security is an extension of this Office 365 data loss prevention to other cloud applications. So you can create policies that looking at files that you have in other services like Box or Google Apps and finding sensitive information there and classify there, encrypt them if needed, and so forth. The threat protection is very much the same as the intelligent alerts or the anomaly detection alerts that you saw in ASM. Now you can get it also for any cloud applications. It works pretty cool. Imagine that one of your users downloads a document from SharePoint, but then like 3 minutes later is downloading another document from Box, and apparently the same account appeared from two different locations on the other side of the world. So that's definitely something you would like to care about. And the last part is the in-session control, which is something we're going to introduce soon, which allows you to like not just detect threats, but also prevent them before they happen. So for example, if a user downloads a sensitive document to an unmanaged device, you'll be able to see that and also block it if you want. So in the CASB world, which refers to Cloud Access Security Broker, which is like really the category that Cloud App Security falls into, you usually have this flow of, you know, the workflow on the portal. So you start by discovering your shadow IT. Which applications are risky and you want to block them, which applications you want to approve, but make sure you get good visibility on. And then you can move to the investigate part, which you can use to understand your environment better and start to shaping them using the control options or the policies that we saw as part of advanced security management as well. And at the end, you get alerts, you monitor them, and you're protecting your environment. And it's basically a cycle that you can apply every week or month or so. So that was about Cloud App Security. We have, back to Advanced Security Management, a few related sessions that we really recommend you attend to. We have the monitor and investigate actions taken on your data with Office 365 auditing and insights. We have the get visibility data control and threat protection with Microsoft Cloud App Security, which is the product I just mentioned. It's tomorrow. And we have the session that tells you how to deploy and manage Microsoft Cloud App Security as well.
All right, so I think with that, we will take questions. So if you have anything, come on up to a microphone so we get the question recorded. But if you don't have any questions, thank you very much. We really appreciate your time. But if you have any questions, come on up to the microphone and we're happy to answer whatever we can.
Thank you.
Question over there, yes. So make sure so I can hear the question correctly. It's you have an E3 license or a different license, not E5, how do you get access to advanced security management?
Yes.
So there's two ways. Obviously, you can buy E5 is the first one, or secondly, it is sold as a standalone option. So you can add it to an existing workload that you have, be it E3, or if you have Exchange or SharePoint, you just want to monitor those. You can buy those as a standalone. The street price that we quote is $3 per user per month for advanced security management. But again, depending on your organizational size and things like that, there may be discounts.
How can you disable the service using what?
So the question is, from a hybrid perspective, if I have on-prem AD, but I, obviously if I'm disabling the account, it's going through Azure Active Directory. Is there a tie between the two, or are we effectively just saying, hey, if I suspend an account, I'm suspending at the Azure AD level?
Yeah, you're definitely suspending at the Azure AD level. So the on-premise account might be still active. It really depends on your configuration.
Yeah.
But what's more important is that this user loses his access to Office 365.
Actually, we'll take the question down there, and then we'll jump to that guy right there. So,
okay, oh. Related subject.
All right, we'll do the related subject. I will get to you right afterwards. So.
So. Basically, you're asking if the user is suspended right away, right?
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, you're right. The session might, like the user token might still be active, and it will take some time until the suspended user will apply. Yep. We're also working on the capability to terminate the user session with SharePoint.
Since if your token is active, we can't go onto the end user's desktop right now and be like, let's take the token away and go. So when they check back in, that's when the token refreshes and says, OK, you no longer have access. Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. When the token refreshes effectively is when this person's account.
And you can actually configure in your AAD environment for how long the tokens will be valid before they need to be renewed.
So. Okay. Good. Yeah. All right. General there. So the thing is that, so since advanced security management is sold as part of Office, but the backend is powered by Cloud App Security, Cloud App Security runs inside of Azure. It's actually not hosted inside of Office 365. So that's why you have to provide consent when you first go in and say, I want to use advanced security management. That's why it's not turned on by default. So there are different terms for using a service that's on Azure versus Office 365. So effectively, you are just storing your data inside of an Azure instance versus inside of Office 365. For you don't see anything behind the scenes. Like, you just see the dashboard that we just showed. But effectively, from a compliance perspective, we need to be very clear with you and say, by the way, the data that you're storing for advanced security management is stored in Azure, not in Office 365.
So because we're relying on network traffic logs and not on agents that you need to deploy on your endpoints, we only see the network that is usually internal in your organization.
Yeah. And it's targeted, obviously, to cloud services, so it's not meant to pick up, like, locally installed applications, of course.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, I had a question about the permissions
for the endpoint. Sure. That's a good question.
So it's a good question. We thought about it a little bit, but as it turns out, third-party applications can behave like you cannot predict, basically, how the third-party will act if you like start disabling specific permissions that the app is relying on. So it's more safe and predictable to just disable the app permissions, which also might disable the entire access to the application. But we might think about it in the future. It's a good point.
Yeah, but yeah, but yeah. Or write, yeah, read right to your calendar. But you think it's risky, but read would be okay. So I think we're trying to get it as saying, I don't like permissions A, B, and C. If anything ever shows up, it would be great to say automatically no, that doesn't work. That's an. That, it's a fair request. Yeah, thank you. So the question was effectively, is there a whitelist versus a blacklist, right? So there's the approve box that just says I approve, but it effectively doesn't take an action, right? Because it's just letting the application continuously run. So, I mean, so effectively we need the visibility into what's being plugged in before we can reason over it, right? So we wouldn't say, like at this point, like unless there's, I mean, I don't know, there's probably thousands of applications that plug into Office 365. It'd be hard for us to say, well, here's the entire list, what do you want to approve or deny that might show up? So it's probably better just to say, well, what's plugged into the service? And then saying yes or no to those things effectively.
You mean like you would like to block any other apps by default? It's an interesting. Yeah. We're like one of the next steps might be to create alerts and policies for third-party apps, and we might be able to allow you to do that. Mm-hmm. There's actually a way you can do that today, but it's. Not something that is very, very common, so we prefer not to include it. But yeah. There is a way you can do that today. I mean, we can follow up on that.
Okay.
Interesting. Thanks.
Thank you. Next question.
Yeah, question. For customers that are maybe early or behind, they just bought E3 and they're deploying it now. So now they see these advanced features, but they're not quite ready to deploy them or even make that expenditure, but they just finished writing the check for E3 before.
Okay.
How would you imagine that they would, what would be the progression that you see them today to kind of cross that gap current? Because here's what they're going to want to know. Before, I mean, as they start to really roll this out,
so I would say first, yeah, so I guess I, from a progression perspective, I say, I mean, you brought up the point of, first of all, like, how do we secure your data, right? There are some table stakes things that we do that we didn't cover in this session, but we do talk about a very broad level of, you know, our data secured at data centers, there's biometrics that we use for people who have access, you know, there's role separation, so people who have access to servers don't actually know where your data really resides, our engineers don't have standing access to your data, things like that. So hopefully you felt comfortable enough with that, that you obviously bought E3 to begin with. Now, when we look at features and functionality in E3, what would you kind of start with to get the ball rolling? Well, there's plenty of things you can start with. Like a good example is DLP. As we talked about earlier, DLP is right out of the box with Office 365 E3 so that you can start doing some data protection right then and there. So there's a few things that you can start flipping switches on using things like Exchange Online Protection, stuff like that. But when you start to move up in, you know, like what are the things I could consider, that's when you start to look at like E5. And E5's got things like, of course, advanced security management, advanced threat protection, and things like that. And we start to see organizations start to look at, well, what things do I need, you know, to help me target these particular scenarios? And we're more than happy to work with you individually, you know, or you know, from your account team and everything else to talk to you about, well, here's what these things do, what are you trying to solve? And maybe we've got the tool and the tool belt to help you do that. And you can buy many of those things standalone. You don't have to buy E5. So if you just want advanced security management and ATP, you can go buy those two things and add them to your E3 agreement, you know, or to your E3 tenant. So you're not, you know, you're not forced to do an E5 deal, but if you, usually when you start to buy enough of them, the cost difference between an uplift from E3 to E5 is, you know, $15 street price. Well, as you start to uplift on the add-ons, you may actually get to a point where it makes sense for you to buy the entire E5 suite, which also includes things like analytics and conferencing and PTSN conferencing for Skype, where then it just makes sense to actually go ahead and buy the E5 suite. Okay. Any other questions? All right.
Thank you very much.
That's it. Thank you very much for your time.